For everyone that was expecting Bruce or Pedro, surprise. I told Anna, I'm going to say, you got T-bowed. She says, most people wouldn't understand that. What I would be implying is you got the third stringer in now. Okay? So, yeah, I didn't know about this until Friday. Bruce called me while I was at work. He was going to be out of town. That I know. I think most of us did. And Pedro was supposed to give the message. Unfortunately, Pedro has come down sick. So we should lift Pedro, Lillian, and the new baby up in prayer. The last thing that baby needs to be is exposed to what's going around. I said, Bruce, you know, it's kind of quick notice to try to prepare a message. He says, well, you know, you spoke Wednesday at Parkway, and I heard the message, and I liked it. Unfortunately, I don't think Bruce realized I was talking about him. But I'm going to try and duplicate what I did Wednesday. I'm going to ask for your patience with me because, honestly, at Parkway, I've been preaching there for almost 11 years now. So there's a certain level of comfort there that I have with these elderly people that they're familiar with me. I don't get to speak here that very often, so yes, I'm just a little bit nervous, so bear with me, please. My message Wednesday at Parkway was a little bit different. I had tried to, I was trying to develop a message coming out of Matthew 13. But I'd overheard the week, and this troubled me, I overheard a congregant speak to a pastor that was visiting. And he had spoke, and he did a good message. In front of the regular pastor, the congregant came up to the guest and said, you did such a great job. I just know that when you speak, it's inspired by God. It comes straight from God. And then the person looked at the other pastor, the regular pastor, and said, not that you don't, but oh, when you speak, it just sets me on fire. And I'm standing there thinking, wow, how would you like to be in that situation? And I remembered, now this is the part Bruce didn't realize, I remembered years ago where that happened to Bruce and I witnessed it. And some of you may remember this gentleman. He came in, he was an evangelist, he claimed, and he spoke one evening here, I think maybe a couple, it might have even been a revival. And quite honestly, I don't remember the man's message. But what I do remember is he got us fired up. Oh, he was exciting. He was amening and pounding the pulpit. And people were responding and people were standing up and clapping. And we got fired up. And I'm guilty of it. I like that. I like somebody lighting a fire under me too. But the same thing happened to Bruce. Somebody came up to him in front of him and told this visiting pastor, how inspiring he was, what a great job he did. Oh my gosh, I could listen to that kind of preaching every week. And I remember thinking to myself, how that must have hurt Bruce. You see, Bruce's family, and this is not going to be a message about Bruce much longer, but Bruce's family, Bruce is here going on, I think 18 years, how many, 16? Every week, and I know personally how many hours and what kind of effort he puts into his message. He doesn't just throw something together. He troubles over it. He struggles with it. His biggest problem is actually cutting it back so we have time to hear it, because we only give him 20 minutes before we start thinking about the pot roast back home. You know, so you know, the guy's trying to feed us, and then he has a congregation that's at, like all congregations, at different levels. So he's trying to feed a little bit to everybody. Some of us need meat. Some of us still need milk. But he's trying to make and meet the needs. And he's been doing this for 18 years on top of all the other stuff. I mean, Bruce has a reputation of if you go to the hospital, he beats you there. I don't know how he does that. But that's no small thing. Bruce preaches a steady and a calm, straight from the word message that's at a level each one of us can understand. And he's here consistently every week feeding his family. I don't remember what the other guy said. I do remember that I got excited. And I thought about Bruce's messages. I don't remember what he said either very much. And I thought about that old saying, most of you have heard it, about my mother's cooking. Or your mother's cooking. Where you maybe only remember out of your lifetime one or two really fantastic meals, but you know you sat down every day for 1,000 meals that were good. And that's kind of how it is here. We have a shepherd who's feeding us spiritually good food. He may not remember what it is, but we all know that we were fed when we leave here. This other guy, he's gone. Bruce is still here. So it got me to thinking about family and the Christian family. We are family. We come here, if you wish, to the table every week that we can. I was going to preach from Matthew 13 Wednesday. Let me see if I can find that real quick here. Eddie, could you bring up Matthew 13, please? We've all heard this story, haven't we? Probably studied it, read it several times. But yeah, when I was preparing my message for Parkway, something different came out. And maybe it was that family theme that was running through my head at the time. Then he spoke many things to them in parables, saying, and I'm sorry, I'm in the New King James. This is probably the NLT. Behold, a sower went out to sow, and he sowed some seed that fell by the wayside, and the birds came and devoured them. And then some seeds fell on stony places where they did not have much earth. And they immediately sprang up because they had no depth for the roots in the earth. But where the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no roots, they withered away. And some fell among the thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked out these new seedlings. But others fell on good ground and yielded a crop. Some with 100-fold, some with 60, some with 30. And then he said, and this is Jesus, those who has ears, let them hear. And I'm reading this and I'm thinking about it, and the family theme came to mind. The seed that he's speaking about is the gospel. It went out. We know this. And it was spoken or shared with certain people. Well, because the seed didn't survive doesn't mean the person passed away, this hypothetical person that he's speaking of. That person, because this word of God didn't take hold and didn't grow in their heart, actually went off to become someone else, other than what God would have had them be. They became a part of another subculture in our world. Maybe they became a gang member. And some of the other seeds, maybe they went off and got into the drugs culture. We don't know, but they became members of other families, is my point. Rather be drugs, gang, or other subcultures in our society. They became members of another family. We, on the other hand, are of the family where the seed took hold. We became a family also. We became the family of God. We are all children of the Holy God. We are members of a kingdom together through Jesus Christ. He who has ears, let him hear. Others fall on good ground. You, I hope, represent the good ground. And it yielded a crop. Did you hear that? It yielded a crop of 100-fold, or some 60 and some 30. What does that mean? Now, we've all read it and we all know what it means, but we've never really taken it in, I don't think. Or if we have, maybe it's time for a reminder. It means that we are to be kingdom builders. We should be doing something. That light that he spoke about that shines, that we're supposed to let shine, is supposed to do something in this world, in a dark world full of sin. The one thing that is going to show up brightly is love. Love of family. Sharing that love. We are to go out and share that love of Christ. We all have different gifts. We all have different talents. We all have different abilities. God-given. We're called to use them. What does our family look like? We are made up of a family from every nation. I'm not sure where I read it, just yesterday. Of every nation. We are a family of every nation, every race, every color, every sex. It doesn't matter. We are all one family through Jesus Christ. That's what we look like. Diversity. We're supposed to go out. We have a plaque on our wall out here. You remember it? What it says out here? Somebody tell me what it says. Preparing people. Okay. How many times have we walked by that? At the bottom is a verse. Anybody remember what that verse is? About Matthew 21, 18 and 20. Eddie, could we bring that up? I guess I've got the wrong one. Knew it would happen. 28. Sorry. Thank you very much for the help. Yes. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth." Think about that. When we accepted Christ into our lives, what did we do? We set aside our free will. We said, "Please become the Lord of my life." We willingly gave over our free will to Jesus Christ to lead us, to use our lives. He says, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." We are under his authority, but so is the rest of the world around us. "Go, therefore, and make disciples of the nations." Well, how far do I have to go? How far have we gone? Think about this. Go and make disciples of the nations. Well, that means that, yes, we have to go to other nations. But then again, if you look around, our family is made up of other nations. How far do we actually have to go? What we really need to do is put out the effort. I've had the privilege and honor of traveling some on mission. I've been some interesting places. I praise God and thank him for the fact that he would choose me. Let me tell you something. I was in India. There is nothing in my life that, spiritually speaking, other than my own salvation, that was as exciting as it was to watch a Hindu who has lived their life worshiping a plaster Paris statue painted blue with an elephant nose and six arms and receiving nothing. But the moment that the light came on, when the real living Jesus Christ became real for them, and you could see it in their face, and you could see the hunger for this, that, you can't, there's no matching it. Have you experienced that? You can experience it if you haven't. He said that all authority was given to him. And he says, I'm sending you to make nations or disciples of the nations. You can experience that God has sent his son with a plan of salvation for all of the world. You, who are we? All right, who are we? I need to wander, I'm sorry. Who are we? We are privileged, we're honored with the ability, the opportunity, the opportunity to continue Jesus' ministry. He spent 3.5 years of his life preparing this ministry. And then he turned it over to the apostles. And they in turn turned it over to the first generation disciple. And so forth, on and on, until guess what? You are the contemporary disciple. You have the privilege and the honor of carrying on Jesus' ministry here on earth. Salvation for every person who has lived, every person that is alive, every person that is going to live. You have the opportunity to encourage those that already believe, to strengthen them, to guide them. You have the opportunity to reach out to others that don't believe. The nursing home. There are people that are 90 years old who have resisted the calling of the Holy Spirit for that many years. God wants them. Yeah, they're in a nursing home. They're warehoused. They're really of not much value to society, but they're very important to God, and he wants them. It's a ministry. It's an outreach. They're from all nations. Right there, gathered together. I didn't have to go anywhere else. God brought them to me. He'll do the same for you. If you'll take it in your heart and realize who you are and the privilege that you have, it is vital that we build God's kingdom. Because there's a day coming. We won't be allowed to work. How far do you have to go? I don't know. I have no idea. I have no idea where the Lord will lead you. I know that we have missionaries here. Last week we had Dwayne King from Alaska who flies up above the Arctic Circle to villages that are so remote they have 300 people living in a village that's 200 miles from another village. And he ministers there. And he set up an operation similar to that using small airplanes in Russia in 2009. Russia finally opened up the airspace for little aircraft, private aircraft, and he's utilizing that and reaching out. Is Dwayne unique? No, he's just one of us. He's no more unique than you are. I had the privilege of going there to help build an outpost in Siberia. I saw the people. I saw the brothers in Christ there, the sisters in Christ there. Guess what? They're just like us. The church was even similar. I felt right at home. It's amazing. It's the family of God. That's the family of where the seeds took root, and they're producing 100 or 60 or at least 30. What are we doing? For years, we've come here. We've gotten fed by a shepherd. Consistently, good food to strengthen us, to build us up. What's he been feeding us for? What's he been feeding us for? To send us out so that we can do God's work. That's the core message. The light has to shine. You have the ability. Those old people at Parkway, I tell them, I heard it said, it made me angry. I heard it said, Tony, you're preaching in the waiting room to heaven. I was told when I first started there, it's okay, you can make a mistake, nobody's going to know. It's okay, they won't remember next week anyway. Let me tell you something. Mrs. Stearns is gone, and she's in glory. She's a little Jamaican lady. I would start to read a verse, and she was in memory care, and she would quote it from memory. And it didn't matter where I went in God's Word, she knew it, and she quoted it. Don't think you're going to get away with anything. At 90 years old, they're not afraid to tell you when you're wrong. Trust me. I have one lady tell me I was singing. There was me and the CD machine. I had them lined up, and I'm just belting it out. And she waves me over. I didn't know she was a music teacher. I bent over, and she says, you really need voice lessons. These are the people there. There are how many nursing homes? How many of you have a pet? Okay, I know of one. I know of two. Do you know that these people love to see your dog come into the nursing home? Do you know the therapy, how therapeutical it is to bring your pet to these people? Try it sometime. Dwayne King, we have Sonny, who has ministered all over the world. I have no idea where Sonny's been. I know she's been in some nasty places in Africa. I know she's been in very remote places in Honduras, and there's probably a dozen other places that woman went. Not putting her on a pedestal, she's just answering the call. But there's a ministry there. There's Dwayne King's ministry. There's people who are going to visit others here in the hospital. There's a prayer chain. There's food outreaches. A pantry over here. Who do we know that needs help? We got to get out of the pews. We really need to get out of the pews and start to put to work some of this teaching that Bruce has been feeding us for 18 years. Would you agree with me? All right. I actually like to hear that. Amen? It's time. Now, for those of you who think that Bruce teaches a milquetoast message, he does in a lot of cases. But if you're ready for meat, here you go. Go get some meat and come back to Bruce, because I guarantee you there would be nothing that thrill his heart more than to have you come talk to him on a higher level and challenge him and get him to stretch and grow. Iron sharpening iron. I'm going to remind you of something we have every Christmas. And this is so passionate to me. Every Christmas we have our little candlelight ceremony. The very first year we did that, we used real candles. And in the beginning, we had people lined up around both sides of the wall. And in the beginning, there was two candles lit right here. The lights were out. And you could barely see anything in here. But one by one, the little tiny candle flame was lit. And it went around the building, both directions. And slowly, things are starting to light up. Things are coming into focus. Until we got all the way around. And you know what was amazing? In the end, we could see everybody and everything clearly. There was enough light in this church building. Oh, pardon me. That we could see everything. And it wasn't a harsh white light. It was a warm, loving glow. You know what it meant to me? It showed me that it isn't what I come to take away from this church. Yes, I get fed, but the important thing is what I bring to this church. Every one of those little lights was important. This building would not have been lit like it was if it wasn't for every single flame that come. You as a congregation are important in this place, in this church, in this body. you bring something to it. Now, it's a matter of attitude. Am I here to take something away, or am I here to bring something to the table? Maturity says, I'm bringing something to the table. What is it? Well, I'm going to bring some ministry. I'm going to bring some encouragement. I'm going to bring some direction. I'm going to bring an opportunity. I'm going to raise people up in prayer. I'm going to bring something here for the body so that we are encouraged and we grow. We are the family that is so expected by God to produce at least 30, maybe even 60, and hopefully 100. And we have the talent. And we have the ability, because Jesus said he has all authority. And he gives us that authority through his name. What am I trying to say? Bottom line, let's get out of the pews. Let's put to work some of what Bruce has brought us. Some of this teaching that we've had over the years. In this room, right now, there is gathered centuries of holy matrimony. Think about it. How many years you've been married? How many years were you married? How many years are you married? Think about it. Add that up. Centuries of holy matrimony. Do you know what holy matrimony is? It's holy. It honors God. There is centuries of Bible study in this church. Am I right? There is centuries of prayer life in this church. There are centuries of living life. Life experience gathered right here in this church building. There is talents that abound. Do you think that God can't use you? Really? I'm going to end it with just this. When you go out of this place and you go out on the Big Mound, you pass a sign. I go by it so often, I don't even notice it anymore. Anybody know what it says? I'm sorry, I hear whispering. You're entering your mission. You are now entering your mission field. Let's take that to heart, okay? Let's go build God's kingdom. That's what he's told us to do. I'm going to ask right now, that's the end of my message. I hope somebody takes something away from it. I'm going to ask right now, are there any among us that feel they need prayer? Would you like to come forward? We'll have some people come up, put hands on, lift you up before the Lord, anoint you with oil. Is there anybody that feels they need that? Okay. We're called to take the gospel out. Is there anybody here that doesn't know what the gospel of Jesus Christ is? Don't be ashamed if there is. Is there anybody here today that needs to pray about something in their life? Would like somebody to pray with you to come forward? Please, if there is, if there's something in your life that you feel needs prayer, don't be ashamed. I'll put it this way, shame on you if you would judge somebody for coming forward, because we've all sinned and we've all fallen short of the glory of God, and we all need that. Okay? All right. Let's just close in prayer then. Holy Father, we do come before you. We praise you. We thank you. We ask in Jesus' name that these words that you have given us, these words that we get excited about, not about the style of the preacher, not about the animation, but about the words, the promises, who we are in you, Christ. That's where we get excited. That's where we should get excited. I pray our hearts are stirred and our minds are opened, that we can look past the pastor or the preacher and see God's words, Father. Help us, guide us, use us in a mighty way, Father, to be kingdom builders for you. Lord, we pray in Jesus' name that you would guide our steps, that you would open our hearts. Father, I ask again that we would be allowed the privilege of being answers to the prayers that go out. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.